Well, as was already said, my name's Tim, and I'm part of United Church. Similar to Luke, who was here last night, I'm not similar to Luke. I'm not a big house, and I might put James to sleep through my message because I don't have one speed that's like 100 miles per hour. But we both have churches in the same neck of the woods. We're in Reisterstown. He's in Owings Mills. Those communities are right next to each other, and we both have young churches. So United Church is a young church, meaning not like the age of people that go there are young, even though that is true, but we're only 6 years old as a church. So we're unlike a couple of the other churches that are here. We don't have a building. We don't have a full paid staff, and we don't even have, until this year, a youth group. And so for us to be able to come to things like Momentum is really encouraging and exciting. So thanks for allowing us to be part of this with you guys. Somebody asked me last night if this was my first time at Momentum, and I kind of chuckled inside because it is not my first time at Momentum. In fact, I started coming to Momentum before it was called Momentum. It used to be called Youth Advance, and I started going to Youth Advance before most of you, before all of you were born who are students, not obviously parents, but anybody who is in middle school or high school. I started going to Youth Advance or Momentum, it's Grace Communities, Winter Retreat, way back in the day. So besides like Becky Fox and maybe a handful of others, Christy Horner, if you have her card, that's a high value card. I've been around actually for a while, and it's really cool to come back as a speaker and to be able to speak and be a part of Momentum in this way. See, when I came to Momentum, I didn't become a Christian until I was 15 years old. So I never had what you might call church friends. Does anybody, raise your hand if you have a church friend. I hope you're raising your hand because you're around church people right now. All right, and so, and you have friends that are here. I didn't really have church friends, you know, growing up, and because I wasn't part of a healthy church. And when I started to follow Jesus, I started to kind of be on my own because I wasn't surrounded by people that knew Christians. And I got my driver's license at 16 years old. You turn 16, you can get it back in the 90s. And I started traveling to Grace Community Church on my own. And so I've been a part of Grace since I, you know, 16, and I started going to Youth Advance. But I started going to Youth Advance. I would bring my school friends with me. Does anybody have school friends? Raise your hand if you go to school and you have school friends. All right, kind of like different groups. You have soccer friends if you do a sport or you know different activities. And I brought my school friends with me, and a bunch of us from Perry Hall High School started to follow Jesus right around the same time. Started to get involved in the youth group at Grace Community Church, and a bunch of my school friends still follow Jesus to this day, but a bunch of them don't. And as we made our way through high school, we became seniors, and as you know, and as you see in our world and culture, a lot of my friends started to go to parties, and I would go to parties with them, and they would started to get involved in things like drinking and smoking and a bunch of other things I probably shouldn't talk about on the stage, and I would still go to these parties and be friends with them, but I was definitely 100% all in with Jesus. So I didn't struggle with that stuff. In fact, when I would go to these parties, I would often pick up conversation with these guys that were my school friends and a bunch of others that were more like acquaintances from Perry Hall. I would talk to them about Jesus. I was very comfortable, like over the course of time, I became very comfortable talking about Jesus with these friends. And in parties, like if you've never seen this before, there's a phenomenon that happens when you start to drink alcohol. Introverts or shy people become extroverts and they start to talk. And so I remember I was at this one party and I was talking to this dude named Mark. And Mark was a real quiet introvert at school, but he had a little bit to drink that night. And so we were talking and into a conversation and I was talking to him about Jesus. And one of my friends walks up and he overhears me talking to Mark about Jesus. And he's like, Tim, what are you doing talking about Jesus again? Can you just stop talking about Jesus? What a downer. And he was like angry at me. You know, he had something to drink too, and he was a little upset. And so alcohol can make you more happy. It could also make you more angry. It made him angry. And he was angry at me. And he was one of my really close friends. And what I found as we started to graduate, go to College Park, Towson, Delaware, different universities, is we started to part ways. And as I became more committed to Jesus and more committed to talking to my friends about Jesus, they became less interested in being my friend, which was really hard. And the theme of this weekend is resilient faith And what I want to talk about this morning is being resilient as you share your faith. Because all of us are called to share our faith. In fact, I want to talk about a job that you and I have that's given to us by God. Now, it's not a job like when you go to work at Chick-fil-A or babysit or work at the grocery store. It's not a job like maybe you go to church and you volunteer on a certain team. I'm not talking about that type of job. I'm talking about a job that all of us have if we choose to follow Jesus as a follower of Jesus, no exceptions. Now, some of you, this will be news to you this morning. You might be like, oh, I never thought about that. I never knew I was supposed to do that. Others of you, you're like, I know I'm supposed to do that. I'm not doing it. And you might be tempted to feel bad about it. I don't want you to feel bad about it this morning. What I want you to see is the awesome opportunity you have as you've been given this job. And I want you to see this job in the Bible and not take my word for it. So why don't you pull out your Bible if you need to get through your backpack and get your Bible and open up your Bible to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And if I could have somebody come up onto the stage and read this for us this morning, first person to come up on stage who is bold and confident and wants to read the Bible for us, come on up. All right, come on up, buddy. Can we get this microphone to work? All right, so make sure you're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Forgot to tell you that you need to be there. All right. Let me help you find you. All right. Is everybody else in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? Yeah. No, go ahead and make your way to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's like after 1 Corinthians, believe it or not. And that's where we were last night. And here we are. Second, what version do you have here? Do you know? Or translation? All right, you are reading from, I'm not seeing it on there, but it's the Bible.
I saw NIV.
NIV, all right, so it might be a little bit different than yours. We're going to read from verse 14, or 17, I'm sorry, to verse 20. All right, so what's your name?
Josiah.
Josiah, is this microphone working yet?
No.
It's not working yet? We'll just keep tapping it until it works. It's got orange tape at the bottom of it. Check, go ahead, check. I don't know if it's on. Where is the on button? It's definitely not on. There's no lights. Thanks, guys. There we go. All right.
Check.
Everybody give Josiah a hand. He's going to read for us.
Check.
All right. Open your Bible. Let's read together. Josiah, read out loud for us.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God.
All right, give Josiah a hand. Thank you, buddy. That's it. All right, so the job was in that passage. Did anybody see what it was? It was one word. Josiah said it. Say it out loud if you saw it. Ambassadors. All right, yes, an ambassador. So what exactly is an ambassador? So I got a couple examples for an ambassador. I was thinking about brand ambassadors. Everybody heard the word brand ambassadors, like a word in marketing? Well, my friends Ryan and Leah got a dog years ago, and this dog, his name is Fitz. And they got Fitz his own Instagram account. And part of getting Fitz an Instagram account, let's pull up a picture of Fitz, is that he became a brand ambassador this is here, Mixables. And because like he got a whole bunch of followers, all these like dog and pet companies would send food and treats and dog toys. And they would always take a picture of Fitz with their dog toy. And he would get a whole bunch of free stuff because he was like representing certain brands. All right. So let me give you a little test. I think you can probably figure out a couple different brand ambassadors. So don't pull up this picture yet. But who does Patrick Mahomes have insurance with, do you think? All right, let's pull up the picture. It's Allstate, you know, Mahomes, my auto, those commercials that he's constantly. How about Ryan Reynolds? Do you know who Ryan Reynolds uses for mobile phone? Mint Mobile. Somebody got it. Yeah, so you can connect his name. All right, Justin Tucker. You know he's the Ravens kicker. Where does Justin Tucker drink coffee and get gas? Yeah, Royal Farms. So you see Justin Tucker all the time. He's a brand ambassador. In fact, I was at a Ravens training camp years ago, and Justin Tucker runs out onto the field, and my son, who was 8 years old at the time, Toby, he yells out, he goes, "It's the Royal Farms guy." And I'm like, "That's not the Royal Farms guy, that's Justin Tucker. He's like the best field goal kicker in the NFL." But he knew him as the Royal Farms guy because he was an ambassador, basically, for Royal Farms on all those commercials. And you know what? When you show up to school, when you go to soccer, when you go to whatever practice it's supposed to be, people are supposed to be saying, "That's the Jesus guy." Just like Justin Tucker took the field, and my son's like, "That's the Royal Farms guy." As followers of Jesus, when we go out into our community, into the different places and spaces where we live and play and go to school, people should be like, "That's the Jesus guy." That is what being an ambassador is. So what does an ambassador do? And so the question is, there's a repeated word. If you have your Bibles open, keep that Bible open. There's a repeated word in here. See it five times. Does anybody see the word? It's like reference five times. Right, yell it out. Reconciliation. All right, I'm going to read from the ESV translation, verses 18 to 20. And whenever you see that word reconciled, reconciliation, highlighted there, say it nice and loud with me, okay? So I'm just going to read the verse, and as soon as I get to that word reconciled, say it out loud. "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of
reconciliation.
That is, in Christ, God was the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of
reconciliation.
Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ." Remember, that's us. We're followers of Jesus, and God is making his appeal through us. "We implore you on behalf of Christ, be
reconciled
to God." All right. I need two high school guys to come up onto the stage. First two guys that are friends that get onto the stage, you're the winner, okay? First two guys up here, all right. Good stuff. I think you guys know these guys are pretty well known around here, right? So what are your names again? James and?
Tucker,
all right. So James and Tucker, I want one of you is gonna be, or pretend to be Jesus, and the other one of you will pretend to be like a really bad sinner that's not connected to Jesus. All right, so who wants to be Jesus? It's a lot of pressure. Come on. All right, come on over here. Tucker is Jesus. Now, Tucker, I want you just to like stand out here and hold out your hands like that, okay? James, you're going to come over here. And when people have sinned against God, the Bible talks about people who have sinned against God as being far from God, walking away from him, having their backs turned to God, all right? And so there's no interest. Maybe you know people like this. Maybe you're here this morning and you're one of those people, like, "I've got no interest in God." And this is kind of a picture. All right, dude, like, people aren't looking back, giving looks to Jesus that are sinning against him. All right. So this is kind of like a picture of what the ministry of reconciliation, that our job is, all right, as an ambassador. All right, is anything happening here besides, got a really awesome Jesus over here. So he's like, he really loves James, all right? Is anything happening here?
No.
Now, and where is Jesus right now? He's in heaven. Okay, he's in heaven, right? Can we agree? Jesus is in heaven right now? He did come to earth. He died on the cross, he raised from the dead, and he ascended into
heaven.
Jesus in heaven. But people who are lost and without Jesus are where? On what?
Earth.
On earth. Ambassadors, an ambassador of our United States of America. All right, you don't have to act so much. You're doing a great job. But you're taking all the attention away from James. All right, so an ambassador actually goes to another country. So they're an American, but they go to another country. They represent the interests of America in that country. That's what an ambassador has always been. But in the Bible, an ambassador is somebody that Tucker or Jesus will send. So I'm just going to pretend to be the ambassador. And so, you see, James isn't coming to Jesus magically or mystically. The Bible says it's kind of practical how it happens. There's an ambassador, you and me, who we go to our friends, our family, and we love and we seek to turn them around. All right? Look at this. I feel like there should be music playing in the background right, real quick. You know, but what we're doing as ambassadors is we're trying to, I know it's not manly to hold hands, but to hold my hand real quick, okay? Hold my hand. As ambassadors, we're trying our best to bring people to Jesus. What does the word say there? The Bible says to, in that verse 20, what are we doing? We're imploring, not reconciling, but imploring, like begging, like, please, James, come to this guy named Jesus. But in the end, I can't be the one to bring ultimately him to Jesus. I can do my very best, but the Holy Spirit has to be involved. And so let's pretend the Holy Spirit's involved and you come to Jesus. All right, awesome, look at that. You guys are great, man. There are talent scouts here. They'll talk to you later. You guys did a great job. All right. So, but that is what an ambassador is doing. They're sent by Jesus because Jesus is in heaven, we're on earth. We have to go to people and seek to turn them around, to implore them. And we do that by sharing a message. Look at this quote by Charles Hodge. He's an old commentator. And he writes, an ambassador is at once, and say that out loud with me, any of the highlighted words, a messenger and representative. All right. So a messenger means you have a message to share, and a representative means you're representing. Remember Justin Tucker, the Royal Farms guy? You should be that Jesus guy. You represent Jesus. He does not speak in his own name, means we're not speaking for ourselves when we represent Jesus. He doesn't act on his own authority. We don't go acting like we're the boss. He communicates not his opinions or demands. As followers of Jesus, we're not interested in sharing opinions. That's not our job. What he communicates, or she, is not his own opinions or demands, but simply what he has been told, or, go ahead and say it out loud. Okay, that means you're sent on a mission to say. His what? Message. Good, thank you guys. His message derives no part of its importance in or trustworthiness from him, meaning you and I. The message that Luke taught last night, the gospel message, we didn't come up with. That's not our idea. It's God's idea. But at the same time, we're more than a mere messenger. He represents his, you say it, sovereign. Sovereign, that's an awesome name for God. I've got a question for you. And maybe I'll pull out the mic and see if anybody wants to share a quick answer, just like a 10-second answer. When you think about this definition of an ambassador, somebody that goes and tells people about Jesus, they seem to be really good at it, or they seem to be inviting people to church all the time. What person comes to mind and why? I want to see if there's people that might come to mind for you guys as somebody that goes out there and is a good ambassador. Does anybody come to mind as a good ambassador for you guys? All right, somebody here. Go ahead and stand up and share it nice and loud. Who is the person that comes to mind? Can we get this? It's the same mic that we just had. Here going. Who comes to mind? Just tell me.
My mom.
Your mom. All right, awesome. Why?
She's such a light for God, and wherever she goes, she always talks about
him. All right, so wherever she goes, she always talks about him. That's a great example. Anybody else? Idea? Dorian.
Eric,
all right. Why Eric? Eric is this guy right here.
My guy.
He's your guy?
Yeah.
All right, any other reasons why Eric?
He goes up to random people and asks if they know about
Yeah, he just goes up to random people and starts telling about Jesus. Anybody else come to mind when you think about, all right, another guy over here. Who comes to mind for you? All right, your friend Zach, why does he come to mind? All right, if you couldn't hear him, he said this guy is not afraid to talk about Jesus no matter like where they're at, no matter who he's going up to. Those are great thoughts. One of my heroes, personally, when I first started following Jesus, is an ambassador for Christ that is insanely popular, and lots of people know about him. His name is Billy Graham. And I read Billy Graham's biography when I first started following Jesus, and this guy like packed stadiums full of people. It's millions, the numbers in the millions of how many people heard Billy Graham preach. In fact, my mom came to Christ at a Billy Graham crusade. And you might know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody that came to faith through the ministry of Billy Graham. So there's millions of people, but I heard this recently, that a 15-year-old teenager, anybody here 15? Raise your hand if you're 15 years old. A 15-year-old teenager who's on social media and posts a gospel video, a viral gospel video, you can reach more people with the gospel than Billy Graham could in 15 stadium events. Because of technology, you have a broader reach than even some of the best ambassadors of Christ, the best evangelists. This is a clear job that we've been given. But let's just be honest this morning. How are we doing with this? How are we doing at our job? If you would get paid based on how well you did, would you make much money? I think this is a topic that comes up. I don't want it like to be hard on you. I think it's hard. Some of you, I think there's three main reasons for people in this room that might struggle to be good at doing this job. And I want to make you better this morning. I want to give you faith in Jesus that you can be a great ambassador for him, no matter who you are or how old you are. And I think one of the reasons that some of us think this is hard for me is because you say, I don't know enough people who aren't Christians. And you think, I'm homeschooled. Like, everybody I see at school follows Jesus. It's the same three people every day or however many people are in your house. Or some of you go to a private Christian school. Or many of you, your closest friends are those that are connected in church. But here's what I want to tell you, because I was a teenager once, and I'm a parent of teens, and I sit on the sideline at Christian school soccer games, and I'll tell you what, the verbs that are being used out there don't display much Christ-like values. There are definitely non-Christian kids in Christian schools. There are also kids that go to our churches that aren't following Jesus. Just because a person goes to church doesn't make them a Christian. Some of you are in homeschool co-ops. And you're like, well, everybody is at this Christian co-op, so they must be Christian. I want to let you know, in all of those places, there are teenagers that are not followers of Jesus. Maybe you're not a follower of Jesus, and you're here, and you're like, I'm at this place. I still am not sold on Jesus, and I'm really glad you're here, because this is one of the best places and safest places for you to learn about the heart of God through Jesus Christ. You see, just because you show up to Christian spaces doesn't mean there's people who are Christians there. My kids were homeschooled up through high school. We have two that have graduated from high school, and they were on a co-ed soccer team together. And being homeschooled, sheltered kids on this co-ed soccer team, they had like half of that team come out to church events or church. Because they were bold and sharing their faith. They were good teammates. They were nice to the players on that team. One of the guys came to faith and got baptized at our church, who was on their soccer team, because they had a vision to share about Jesus. See, there are teens at your Christian school, at your co-op, at your church, that don't know Jesus. The question is like, well, how do I know who they would be, and how do I even start to talk to them about Jesus Christ? I just want to give you three questions. If you're taking notes or not taking notes, pull out a pen and that notebook. That's why you have a pen and notebook. And I'll encourage you to write some of this stuff down. This is the good stuff. These are three questions that you can ask. You can ask, when did you start following Jesus? Our community group started talking about this discussion last night. It was really encouraging to hear different people in our group talk about when they started following Jesus, even those that grew up in church. Like, when did your faith become your own? Not your parents' faith, not coming because mom and dad tell you to. The second question is, what does following Jesus look like for you? Because after that first question, you might find out real quickly, like, I don't know if I'm a follower of Jesus. You might learn that your friend that you've always thought is a Christian, but you've never talked to them about Jesus, isn't so sure about following Jesus. And you can get into a conversation about what it means to follow Jesus. Maybe they say, oh, this is when I started following Jesus. Then you can get into some more conversation. What does following Jesus look like for you? Like, what does it mean to follow Jesus? And you can have some Christian fellowship besides just playing Fortnite together. You can talk about Jesus together too. And then the third question is, what are you reading in your Bible? If your friends are following Jesus, they're likely reading their Bible. Followers of Jesus read their Bible. It's a behavior of followers of Jesus. It's a pattern in a follower of Jesus' life. I don't like to say Christian because 63% of our country is Christian, and I don't think they're actually following Jesus. So I say follower of Jesus a lot, so that's why I do that. And some of you are thinking like, well, this isn't my challenge. I know lots of non-Christian friends, lots of people that are not following Jesus. My challenge is I'm a little scared, if you're honest, of what people will think about me if I go on record telling them about Jesus. When I was 15, I told you I started following Jesus when I was 15. I was scared to death for the first year to let anybody know. In my little friend group, I didn't want anybody to know that I was following Jesus. They already made fun of me because I started going to a church. They got wind that I was going to church. And there was no way I was going to start talking more about Jesus. I knew my friend Tim. I know my name's Tim, but my best friend, his name was Tim as well. He would totally rip into me if he found out that I was a Christian. So I didn't know what to do for that first year. I was just kind of like keeping it to myself. I was certainly growing in my faith. But something started to happen in my life. Like, nobody got on stage and told me you have a job to be an ambassador for Christ. This is not the best way to help you be convinced, like, oh, I'm going to go out there and not start sharing the gospel. Here's what happened in my life. I started to get a bigger perspective of life. I saw this illustration recently. Maybe you have seen it before by a guy named Francis Chan. And he talks about having a perspective of life that's bigger than just the life that we live in. Because if this rope were to be a timeline of our life, and this little blue tape is the timeline part called Earth, then there's a lot that comes after it. I mean, let's just imagine this rope just keeps going all the way out to the bay. And it goes through the bay to the ocean, it goes to the ocean around the world. I mean, that's eternity, right? And yet, we are so focused on this little blue tape part of life, Earth. And like, for a lot of you, you're just getting started. You're not even halfway there through life. And you're worried about important things, like, where am I going to go to college? What do I want to do when I grow up? Some of you are worried about, like, hey, is somebody going to ask me to dance? Or you might be worried about these big questions, and you're focused so much on this little blue tape piece of life that you don't think more about, like, where are you going to spend eternity? In heaven or hell? With God and Jesus? We sang about that. Christy did an awesome job giving us a big picture view of what awaits us as followers of Jesus. But there's something that's horrible that awaits our friends. That's called hell, separated from Jesus for all eternity. And yet we just care about Fortnite. All we're focused on is the dance coming up. Is somebody going to ask me? All we worried about is, can I get into that college? Are my grades, am I going to pass the test? It's like, really? That's all you're going to focus on? Your mom and dads, we do the same thing too. Because we're just like, oh my goodness, am I going to please the boss? You know, or can I get this job? Or am I going to be able to make enough money to live life comfortably here at the later part of the tape? You know, we can get tied up with this stuff too. This is not just a teen thing. And as I started thinking about my fear of sharing my faith, and I started to realize, holy smokes, this is a big deal. This part is really important. The blue tape part, the decisions that we make today impact all of these days and years, millions and millions of years. That started to help me overcome being scared to talk to my friends about Jesus. Because I started to see my friends with the heart of God. That God wants them to be in a relationship with him. And I stopped caring a lot less about this blue tape stuff here on earth. About, all right, my friends don't call me anymore when they go to parties. Why would they? I'm not joining them in the type of activity that they're doing. And that was hard. But what helped me be resilient is thinking about all this stuff, not this stuff. So if you're scared about what people will think about you, think about eternity. Think about the decisions that you make today that can have an impact for eternity in your friends' lives. That will help you more than me getting up here and reading 2 Corinthians passage and saying, hey, you've got a job, now go and do it. Meditate on that thought a little bit this weekend. Marinate on that idea that these friends that don't know Jesus, they're not going to go to a happy place where we're singing and dancing and celebrating. And I want them to be in that place with me. Some of you, the other third reason why it's hard for you to be an ambassador for Christ is because you just simply just say, I don't know how to do this. What does it look like to share Jesus with other people? Now, I'm not going to give like a whole evangelism training right now, but I want to give you a crash course real quickly about how you can be a faithful ambassador real practically. And the first step is prepare to share. And the best way that you can prepare to share your faith with others is be praying for your friends. I know prayer is kind of like that answer you give. It's like, if you say Jesus in church as the answer for 9 out of 10 questions, it works. And prayer is like second to that. So if you say, what should you do? Pray, of course. But are we really praying for people that don't know Jesus? Years ago in our church, COVID hit. And I don't know, probably your church has happened too. Not as many people were in church. And as pastors, we were trying to just get people back to church. And after a while, I just got tired just trying to get people back to church. I said, we want to be back on mission and reaching people for Jesus Christ. And we just started praying. We just prayed for people to come to faith in Jesus. And that was 2 years ago. And this past year, we were a small church. We had 18 people baptized, and most of those people are unchurched people, never been in a church before, coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And I don't think it's because of anything we did except for pray. When you pray, God moves. Prepare to share by praying. Have compassion, which is like to have the heart of God. Think about this rope. Think about eternity. That's going to cause you to have compassion and the heart of God for those friends or family members that don't know Jesus yet. And then third thing there is care. Care about people. Remember, you're a representative of Jesus. So care for people. That's how you prepare an environment in your life with friendships to talk to others about Jesus. Second thing is then begin a conversation. There's just 3 A words here: ask, admire, admit, that you should write down. So how do you begin a conversation? I would sit at the lunch table at Perry Hall High School. I would sit with my friends. And when I started to get this like burden to start talking about Jesus, I would say, what do you think about church? I would just start asking questions like, what's your religious background? As I sat next to Chris, you know, who's in, his last name lined up with my last name. So we'd be next to each other in class all the time. I'd be like, Chris, what's your religious background? And like, you have dead time in class time. And, you know, it's soccer practice and just starting to kick up conversation like, hey, what did you do on the weekend? And hear about their weekend and see if like, do you go to church or do you participate in any youth group type things? Or just ask questions. And admire is like, you're going to start to find out some people might not have the same religious background you have. The area that we live in right now, it's very diverse religiously. There's a lot of different faiths represented, and one of those is Muslim. And one of the things that you'll find quickly if you're talking to somebody who's Muslim or somebody who, you know, might be Mormon is they have really high moral standards. They make Christians look like heathens sometimes because of how good they are. You'd be like, you know what? Admire means you can talk about things that are in common with your faith. You don't always have to be against people. You really don't have to ever be against people when you talk to them about faith. You could admire things about their faith. You could admit that in your faith journey, the reason you choose to follow Jesus is because you're weak and you can't be good enough and you need Jesus. And what do you do next? What does an ambassador do next? What is one of the main things that was highlighted there? What do they have to do? They have to share a message. It's a message of reconciliation. Romans 1, the Apostle Paul calls this message. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's what Luke talked about last night. That's the message. What does it say about the message? It says it's the power of you for salvation, right? No, we don't have a lot of power, do we? If we had to trust in our own power for people to come to faith in Jesus, why would we even do this then? But this is the power of God. God who created the world, who spoke it into existence, who controls all things. All things are under his control. He has power. The power of God for salvation is the gospel. It's not how cool you can be, how much you can relate to your friends. It's not how clever you can be in telling them about Jesus. It's simply sharing the gospel message. Now, if you're not clear on the gospel message, there's a really helpful tool that I just want to share with you. It's just the gospel as an acronym. If you could pull that acronym up. It says, God, our sins, paying everyone life. It's an acronym just to remember the gospel of Jesus Christ. So just say it out loud with me. We're just going to read each word. God, our sins, paying everyone life. One more time. God, our sins, paying. All right. Say it like you mean it now. All right. Nice and loud. God, our sins, paying everyone life. God, the first word, next slide. God created us to be with him. In Genesis 1 and 2 is a good and perfect world. That is the God word. This is where you want to be taking notes and writing these stuff down. This is not my thoughts, somebody else's. It's good though. And so God created us. It was a good world, but the O word is our, and our sins separate us from God. Sin came into the world through Adam and Eve in Genesis 3, and all of sin has been, and all the world has been infected by sin. Our sin deserves punishment in hell. But sins cannot be removed by good deeds. That's the S word. Sins can't be removed by good deeds. There's a lot of religious systems that their system is be good enough and you'll get to that good place. Be good enough and you'll get to heaven. The Bible says we can never be good enough to get to heaven. So God, our sins. What's the next word? P, paying. Paying the price for sin. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, came, died on the cross, lived a perfect life, and paid the full price of sin that we deserve. Jesus did what we couldn't do to remove our sins. E, everyone who trusts in Jesus alone has eternal life and will be with him forever. And then L, life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. That's the gospel. I mean, do you think you could commit that to memory and share that with somebody in your life in 60 seconds? Raise your hand if you think you could do that. Raise your hand if you think, if I thought about this enough, I could do this. Raise your hand nice and loud, nice and high. I think more of you could do this. I think you guys are smarter than you think. And I think because of the power of the Holy Spirit that is in our life, you can share this message. Remember, what's the power of God for salvation? Is it you? It's this message. It is the gospel. And when you share this message with your friends, ask them two questions. Does that make sense to you? If it doesn't make sense, then you go back and re-explain it. If it does, let's pull this up on the screen. Then you can ask, what's holding you back from trusting in Jesus? Listen, that's it. That's like the crash course of how to share your faith. I know you can do it because I've seen kids and teens your age do this. I've seen them share their faith at school. Seen them share their faith at different activities that they participate in the theater group, in the sports team. There's a ton of ways to do this. I'm just sharing one. But I guarantee if you have a spiritual conversation, if you do this with a friend, I guarantee you your faith and trust and excitement in Jesus will grow more than coming to Momentum. As awesome as this weekend can be, if you share your faith with somebody who's not a believer in Jesus, your faith and trust in God and excitement to follow him will be more evident than just coming to a conference or going to church on a regular basis. Those are great things. See, here's the thing. I was a pastor at a church. I was a Rick Myers at a church up in New Jersey for 10 years. And I led the teens there. And we did this thing called the E-Team, meaning evangelism team. And during the day, we would do these things. It was a week-long thing in the summertime. And we would go to an inner-city camp, and we would lead these kids in different activities and so forth in the morning. And then in the afternoon, we'd do different trips to different parts of. We would go to the inner city and pass out food. Or we'd go out to a community park, pass out ice cream, and do different service projects like landscaping or so forth. And we would do this throughout the week. But leading up to Friday night was like the main event of E-Team. Anybody want to guess what we did on Friday night? On Friday night, we went to the boardwalk at Ocean City, New Jersey, not Maryland, Ocean City, New Jersey. And in Ocean City, New Jersey, we talk about it for a couple nights, and we get prepared to go share our faith in Jesus, to just walk up to random strangers and talk to them. And so we had 8th graders who were a part of this, 8th through 12th graders who would come on the boardwalk with us and go up to random strangers and just say, hey, can I ask you a couple questions about Jesus? And get into it right there and just start talking about Jesus. Some kids were so scared. One kid was physically sick to his stomach and like was like, I can't go. I'm too sick. He was like passing out and stuff. And the kids were scared to death of Friday night. But on Saturday night, when we wrapped up E-Team, do you know the best part of that whole week for every student was Friday night? Do you know what changed all of us from that whole week? It was Friday night. It was going and telling people about Jesus. If you think you're too young for this, let me tell you a story about Brooke. Brooke's a real person. She was a 7th grader at the time when she started a junior high Bible study. Her youth pastor didn't come to school and do it for her. Her parents didn't do it for her. She started on her own in the seventh grade a Bible study for her friends who didn't know Jesus. And she would have a babysitting job, and she'd take her money from her babysitting job and buy Bibles for her friends that didn't know Jesus. That's how committed to this that she was. Local youth leaders started hearing about this girl named Brooke who was doing the Bible study at the school, and they started getting her boxes of Bibles because they heard about the influence she was having on her school campus. And she had so many Bibles she couldn't give them all out. And in the seventh grade, Brooke wrote this poem. She wrote, "I'll live my life to the full." So I'm just reading her poem out loud to you. "I'll be happy, I'll brighten up, I'll be more joyful than I've ever been. I will be kind to others, I'll loosen up, I'll tell others about Christ." And she was doing that. "I will go on adventures and change the world. I'll be bold and not change who I really am. I'll have no troubles, but instead help others with their troubles. You see, I'll be one of those people who lives to be a history maker at a young age. Oh, I'll have moments, good and bad, but I'll wipe away the bad and only remember the good. In fact, that's all I'll remember, just the good moments, nothing in between, just living my life to the fullest. I'll be one of those people who goes somewhere with a mission, an awesome plan, a world-changing plan, and nothing will hold me back. I'll set an example for others. I'll pray for direction. I will have my life before me. I will give others the joy I have, and God will give me more joy. I will do everything God tells me to do." That is amazing. "I will follow the footsteps of God. I will do my best." In the seventh grade. Fast forward to her freshman year. Raise your hand if you're a freshman in high school, first year going at it there. During Brooke's freshman year in high school, she went to the movies with her friends one night, and on her way to the movies, she got into a car accident, and her life on earth ended at the age of 14. So when you think I've got all the time in the world to live, to make decisions about following Jesus, you never know. But even though her life ended, her impact didn't. Nearly 1,500 people showed up to Brooke's funeral. Most of them were students. Her pastor was a guy named Francis Chan, which you probably heard his name before. Francis Chan preached the gospel, and in one moment, 200 people, a little more than 200 people, came forward to trust in Jesus Christ. Brooke reached more people with the gospel of Jesus from 12 to 14 than most people ever do in their entire life. If you think you're too young to be an ambassador for Jesus, I don't think you are. In fact, I think the power of the Holy Spirit is where I put my confidence. If you believe in Jesus Christ, he has given you the power of the Holy Spirit to help you share your faith, and he's given you a powerful message called the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you about this job this morning, not because it's a duty for you to do, but because it's a great joy and privilege to be an ambassador for Jesus. Brooke was faithful to Jesus. She didn't live for herself. I want to encourage you to be faithful to Jesus and to not live for yourself. To see those people in your life that aren't yet following Jesus as God's lost children that you're called to go to, and do your best to bring them to know Jesus Christ. This is a great job, guys. It's the best news. It's the best message. It'll change people's eternity forever. Will you do this? Let's pray. God, I thank you for the work of Christ. Lord, before we think about being an ambassador, I just thank you that we are your children. That song we sang before coming into the message. Lord, we're no longer slaves to fear. We are children of God. And as children of God, we delight in knowing you and living for you. And God, help us to overcome whatever it might be in our life, whether it's fear, whether it's not sure what to do or what to say. God, help us to see we have the most powerful resources of the Holy Spirit in our life and the gospel message. That's the power of salvation. And help us, God, to live this out. Help us to be faithful ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand, and we're going to start to sing together. Sorry, I didn't call the worship team up, and they'll be making their way up. And as you stand, I just want us to quietly be reflecting. Don't turn, talk to friends yet. And just start thinking about, what is God saying to me How is God calling me to respond to this message? And we're going to just respond right now by singing and making this song our prayer to God, these next few songs, and just thinking about this awesome privilege and opportunity that we have to be ambassadors for Jesus.